New series this morning in the book of Genesis, entitled In the Beginning. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to Genesis chapter 1. If you're going to start a new series in the book of Genesis, you have to start in the beginning. And in the beginning is a phrase that probably many of you are familiar with. Some of you even maybe have memorized the first few verses of the book of Genesis. And so when I say in the beginning, you probably think God created the heavens and the earth. And that's what Genesis 1:1 says. We aren't going to look at every specific verse. We're not going to go through this verse by verse the whole book. We could probably do that and spend the next couple of years on the book of Genesis, but we're not going to spend quite that long. We're going to kind of see an overview of the book of Genesis. So in the beginning, kind of what it starts as is creation. God creates. And the Bible tells us that God created Adam and Eve and put them on this earth to rule over creation. But the problem was Adam and Eve's sin. God told them that there was a tree that they were not to eat the fruit of, and God chose to disobey them. God began to work through people. He worked in creation, but then he begins to work through people within creation. He begins to work through Noah. We know that Noah built an ark, and God destroyed all of the earth except for what was on the ark, including all of the animals, other than the two of every kind. And so God begins to work through people. God worked through a man named Abraham. God promised Abraham, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars. And God begins to fulfill his covenants through people like Abraham. Abraham, many of you know, was married to Sarah, and they were quite old. They had no children. But the Bible tells us that God promised Abraham, I'll make your descendants numerous, but they were 100 years old. There are many of you that are close to 100 years old. There are a few of you that are close to 100 years old in here. How would you feel about having a baby right now? At 100 years old. That's what happened. God fulfilled his covenant, and Abraham had a child named Isaac. We'll get into the details of this as we go through it week by week, but Isaac marries Rebekah, and they have two children, Jacob and Esau. And there's quarreling there that happens. Jacob marries Leah and Rachel, and Jacob has 12 children. God renames Jacob and tells him, I will no longer call you Jacob, but I will call you Israel. One of Jacob's 12 sons is Joseph. And when I say Joseph, you probably think of the coat of many colors. And so Joseph was one who was hated by his brothers because of the favoritism that his father was showing to him. And so his brothers sold him into slavery. He would begin to work for a high official in Egypt and eventually would end up on Pharaoh's court. There's a famine in the land, and Joseph's brothers have to come to Egypt to get food because there's this famine. So the brothers come not knowing that it's Joseph. Eventually there's reconciliation there in their family because they sold him into slavery. He forgives them. And then his family moves to Egypt because of the severe famine, and that's where the book of Genesis ends. Joseph passes away, and we're left with Abraham's descendants dwelling in Egypt. But that's just a quick overview. God's hand is working to establish his people and to bring redemption for all humanity and earth, and we see that in the book of Genesis. It's all about God. What we'll talk about today in creation is all about God. The problem is some people equate in the beginning with a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. In the beginning does not equal If my math, if Cindy was sitting right there, she'd be like, that does not equal sign. The in the beginning does not equal a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. You see, in the beginning is truth. In the beginning is history. But it is not history in the sense of a historical book. It is a historical book. But it wasn't written to just give you history facts. You see, it was written to give us God's working in creation. God's working through individuals. The focus is on God. It's interesting, though, the more and more we study science and other things from a biblical perspective, we see how the truth of the Bible, it is true. It is historical. But in the beginning should not be treated as a piece of fiction. It is to give us details of God's working through all of creation. In the beginning, God created. These first words, God created, you would think as an author writes, as he begins to spell out what he's going to say, it's the first book in the Bible, you would think he would need to write everything about God. How long would that take? When an author is writing a book, usually when you come to the first, the main character, they begin to tell you things about the main character. And while Moses, who's the author of the book of Genesis, doesn't spell out everything for God, he does give us some little snippets. In the beginning, God created. God created and decided to make the earth. God is creative. We see that he is the master painter. He is the perfect architect. He is a wonderful designer, and he is a sculptor. Through all of his creation, through his words, he begins to speak. He is the creator of all that was seen. He created everything out of nothing. Have you ever tried to create something out of nothing? You don't get very far, do you? As humans, we can create a lot of things out of something. But we can't create anything out of nothing. God is the one that can create something out of nothing. God is the creator. And he speaks, and his words are what begin to form the earth. I have a video I want to show you this morning. So guys back in there in technology, this is the book of Genesis chapter 1, but it has visuals, so that gives you a picture of what happened on the first 6 days. Go ahead.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and birds that may fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of heaven. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after its kind, livestock and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God said, man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning, sixth day.
The 6 days of creation. On the final day, God speaks and commands the earth to bring forth all living creatures to populate the land. But there's a shift. God goes from commanding the land to bring forth creatures to his getting intimately involved in creation. God makes and designs man in his own image. Humanity is then the apex of God's creation, and God created them male and female. And God designs and forms all of creation in 6 days. What does it mean to be created in the likeness of an image of God then? That's a question that I think has been highly debated over the last centuries. I believe there are several distinctions that we get out of being created in the image of God. One is we're moral, rational, and spiritual beings. We're also relational beings. God created us to have a relationship with him and also have a relationship with one another. We're also like God is creative and he created. I said we make something out of something. We are creative as well. God put that in us, that we are creative beings. But there's something that God gave to us. He gave us authority. God commanded Adam and Eve to rule over the garden, to rule over all of the earth, to fill the earth and subdue it. God gave specific commandments, and that means that we're placed as God's representatives on this earth. I'm sure there are many other pieces of having the image of God. These are just a few that I chose this morning, but I think they all hinge on the fact that we were created to have a relationship with him. Our uniqueness is more about God placing himself in a relationship with us than it is about our character traits, because we're created in God's image. You see, we are told that God blesses Adam and Eve and gives them some specific responsibilities. He tells them to be fruitful and multiply. There were two people on the earth. It was a pretty big earth. God says we need to populate the earth. You're responsible for that. Be fruitful and multiply. God also tells them to rule over creation. But he also, on the seventh day, in Genesis chapter 2, it says that God rested on the seventh day. And that became even a law to the Israelite people later in the book of Exodus, that they were to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That it would be a day of rest for them. And so rest is part of what God gives to creation here. And then he says, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. I have this command for you. Do not eat of this tree. God also gives Adam the command that he's to name all of the animals. And I don't know how long it would take to name every animal. But they're all coming to him and he begins to name them. And so, okay, elephants. We'll call you elephants, giraffes, eagles. There's two monkeys. There's two cows. There's two dogs. There's two raccoons. There's two bears. At some point, Adam had to say, there's two of everything else, and there's one of me. Genesis chapter 2 spells out day 6 a little bit farther in depth. That God didn't initially create Adam and Eve. God created Adam, and then he put Adam, the Bible says, into a deep sleep and took a rib out, and out of that rib created Eve. Adam at some point realized his need for God. Realized that he had to be completely dependent on God because he couldn't create something out of nothing. Adam wasn't going to do surgery on himself and take a rib out and be like, okay, Eve, now make Eve. Nothing was going to happen. But God chose to do that. God chose to make Eve for Adam. Adam's response is this in Genesis chapter 2. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. The Hebrew words there's a play on words. Ish is the name for man. Ashish is the name for woman. Literally, out of man. And so, to give you the paraphrase of what Adam says, wow, he says to God, look at what you've done. This is at last, is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She's not like these other creatures. You did this for me. Thank you, God. God then, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, there's a little paraphrase there. It says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And it says, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Their context, they were not worried about anything. We'll get into Genesis chapter 3 next week. We know there's a big change there. But God directed Moses to give instructions here that this relationship, the man and the woman, they were supposed to have a permanent relationship. That it was set apart by God that they should be committed to one another. And they should live out God's commands of filling and ruling over the earth. So what is the conclusions this morning? God rules over all. God is sovereign over all things. God is creator of all. God can do all things because he created all things. Another point is that God gave humanity a purpose. He didn't just set us out there. There are those who believe that God created and then walked away. All right, here you go, and play that out. Let's see what happens. God works within creation, and God gave humanity specific purposes to fulfill. Those purposes were to bring God glory. Again, we'll talk about Genesis chapter 3 because that was all skewed after chapter 3. I believe humanity still reflects God's image. That we're still here as image bearers, now even more so through Jesus Christ in the New Testament when he came. We can now reflect God's image even more because we saw the image of the one true God, and that was through Jesus Christ. I believe we're still to fill and rule over creation. We're still to be meeting those commands that God set before. But I don't want us to get caught up. There are those who want to figure out how many days did it take. Was one day literally a 24-hour period? My belief is yes, one day was a literal 24-hour period. There are those who would say a day was 1,000 years, or a day was 1,000,000 years, or a day was, make up a number. I don't want to get stuck in those things, because the focus of Genesis is on God. And then there are a lot of secondary characters like Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph that we'll talk about over the next several weeks, who are instruments of God to help redeem eventually us as humanity through Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you. I thank you for spelling out your creation. God, we would have no idea the energy, the effort, the words that you spoke in order to make things come to being. God, I thank you for your working in creation. God, I thank you as we look over the next few weeks of your working through individuals' lives so that you begin to bring back this relationship that we'll see next week is broken because of a decision by Adam and Eve. Father, I pray that over the next several weeks, over the next few months, that we would be able to dig into this book of Genesis and we would be able to see lives that were affected because of your working through them. God, that we would be able to see mistakes that were made by individuals because they were human and not make those same mistakes ourselves. God, I pray that you would help us as we learn from your word, God, in order that we can live out your word, in order that we can be the truth to people who maybe don't understand, who maybe don't know. But God, help our lives be a reflection of your true image so that we can be lights to people in a dark world, so that when people look at us, they will see your image reflected. God, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.